ध्यायामो धवलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् So in the previous day, we saw Samabuddhi, Suhrin Mitra Ari Udhasina, Madhyastha Dveshya Bandushu, Sadushva Picha Papeshu, Samabuddhir Vishishyate. So Krishna saying in the ninth shloka of the sixth chapter that Samabuddhi is like kind of very good, Samabuddhi is very essential, so that is what Krishna had. Spoken about in the ninth shloka. So today, Krishna explains as to or directly gives the way. So samabuddhi is a way. Samabuddhi is the way, or samabuddhi is how we is an implementation of Vedanta. So like the same thing, like Krishna is going to say in a little different way, and like in the next shloka, and they are not just different way. But there, everything is like encompassed, or all the path, or all the essentials for the spiritual path, they are being explained beautifully by Krishna. Yeah. So, as we saw in the previous shloka, Samabuddhi was being explained. And here, in today's shloka, in the 10th shloka, Krishna summarizes the spiritual path. Krishna, in a way, gives the entire path in just one shloka, what all needs to be done, what all are essential in order to achieve the goal of moksha, that is being beautifully given in this shloka. So, irrespective of whatever we have to do or whatever we should do, irrespective of like whether we have to do this or that, so like there will be controversies like with respect to whether we have to do one sadhana or the other sadhana or another sadhana. So sadhanas, like it's all dependent on a seeker's perspective. Sadhanas are always dependent on the spiritual seeker's temperament or the spiritual seeker's tendencies, inner tendencies. So some people might be more prone to implementing dhyanam, others will be more prone to chanting, yet others will be more into bhajans, some others will be more into learning the shastra padanam. So, all those, we have, various or different ways, we have different paths. So, in all this, we can get very easily confused as to what might be true, what might be right, and all those. Therefore, Krishna says that irrespective of, that's why before that shloka, Krishna says that samabuddhi vishishyate. Samabuddhi is equanimity, vision of oneness, is the greatest, or is the direct, is what Krishna says. So such a direct way, when we talk about such a direct way, then there is no, we don't have any kind of confusion, we don't have to be confused as to how should we do it? Is this the way? Is that the way? And all those, we don't have to worry. We don't have to think a lot in order to do that. So, but Krishna again, our benefit, Krishna gives the way, very clearly in today's shloka. But irrespective of whether we implement this or we implement something else, it doesn't matter whether we implement this or whether we implement that. So, like what is essential is, as we always say, or as Vedanta says, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahmaiva Na Paraha. So that is what is important. What is important, what is essential, what is what is very essential in the spiritual path, more than any sadhana that we might do, is remembering this Advaitiya Satyam. Remembering the goal as Advaitam. So like Advaitam, the goal of Advaitam is something like which we have to always remember. So Advaitam, like the moment like we forget Advaitam, so Advaita Bhavam, like if we forget the if we are not able to remember Advaita Bhavam, then like it doesn't matter what other things like we will remember. Irrespective of whether we do some dhyanam or not, whether we do any other sadhana, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter like what we implement. Like if we are not able to remember that everything is one Brahman, like then all these sadhanas will be of no use. We will only end up in sorrow again with all those sadhana. So therefore, yeah, sadhana is important. Though sadhana is important, that it also like is important to remember Brahman, remember Advaitam. That is Advaita Bhavam is something which is very essential. Advaita Bhavam is the very basis of Vedanta itself. Without that, we cannot get any moksha. Moksha is impossible. Anandam is impossible if we don't maintain Advaita Bhavam. So remembering that Advaita Bhavam is essential, Advaita Bhavam is required. So keeping that in mind, then we have to then it doesn't really matter like what we remembering this, what we implement doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter what we implement if like this attitude is there. So as I mentioned earlier, depending on our like nature, we can do any sadhana, but all those sadhana will have to take us to the state of samabuddhi or the state of advaitam directly. So that is what it has to lead to. So that is what is important. So what is important what we kind of implement, but what is important is whether we have the attitude of advaitam, or whatever we implement leads to advaitam, leads to the truth of advaitam. That is more important. So anyway, like all this, like we very well know. So here Krishna says, that yogi yunjita satatam atmanam rahasisthitah ekaki yata chittatma nirashir aparigraha. So in order like for a sadhaka, to attain moksha or attain the goal of Brahman. So we know like if we have to attain Brahman, anything that we have to attain, like we have to contemplate. Contemplation is something which is essential. So contemplation is inavoidable. So contemplation is inavoidable, like if we have to attain anything. So if we have to attain dhyayato vishyan pumsaha sangasteshu pajayate, then the more and more we contemplate on an entity, contemplate on an object, slowly like we will gain oneness with that object, or we will attain that object. So if like we cannot attain that object, the object or the entity is not an object per se, but let's say like it is a kind of possession. Still for possession, even if we want possession, if we want to have possession, like if we need possession, then we have to constantly keep that goal in mind, contemplate on that goal, so that we will be able to act towards that goal. We'll be able to act towards that goal. We'll be able to progress towards that goal if we are, like if we contemplate on the goal. So that is something which is kind of important, like which is inevitable. So Krishna, as Krishna here says, like we have to contemplate on, like we have to contemplate on Brahman. So like that Brahman, contemplation on Brahman, another word for contemplation. Another word for contemplation, like another word like that we know or we can use for contemplation is like samadhi. So samadhi means like constantly on that goal. So that is samadhi. So we call it like nididhyasanam or samadhi. Samadhi means like we are totally focused on the goal. That is what is meant by samadhi. So either that, either samadhi, or we can use the normal term of nididhyasanam. So samadhi is inevitable. Samadhi has to be done. But before doing samadhi, or in order to do samadhi, if we have to do samadhi on Brahman, Brahman as beyond this world, Brahman which is beyond the names and forms of this world. So Brahman is obviously beyond the names and forms of this world. Brahman is the substratum behind the world. So Brahman is the substratum behind the world. So if we have to contemplate on Brahman, the first thing that we have to do is, we have to remove the distractions, or put in like Vedantic term, pratikula varjanam and anukula sevanam. So anukula sevanam are positive. So any path will have two steps. So one is like avoiding things which will obstruct the goal to be achieved. So that is pratikula means obstacles which will obstruct us attaining that goal. So that is pratikulam. So pratikula varjanam, like we have to get rid of pratikula. And anukula sevanam means like implementing that. Anukulam means that which helps us in the goal. So implementing that which will help us towards that goal. So these both are essential. These both are important for any goal for a seeker attaining any goal, it doesn't matter anything. So as the normal example, if a person has to get into IIT, so then like the anukulam of trying to see like how like we can get into like IIT or IIM. So that means like preparing for CAT or preparing for GMAT. So that is what like is anukulam. And pratikulam. So pratikulam means there the pratikulas are like parping, watching TV, getting distracted. So that is something like which we have to avoid, like which we have to get rid of. So that means that anukula sevanam, pratikula varjanam, both have to be there. If one is implemented, like anukulam is there, pratikulam is not avoided, then also like energy will get dissipated. Whatever we do, like when the more and more we like try to implement like or learn like anukulam, try to implement anukula, try to learn more, practice more about CAT, like still it will be of no use. It will be of no use because it will get dissipated, it will get distracted. So when energy comes out in the form of light, if we have a bulb or something like which spreads light throughout the entire area, then light will get dissipated. The energy focus will be less. So those lights like which focus directly on something, which doesn't get dissipated in many direction, that will be able to shower like or throw more light. So like more energy will come out of it. More energy, like we'll be able to get more energy out of any light, like more energy out of any source of light when like when it is focused, when it is directed in one direction. So the normal example of water, when water comes out of a pipe, so like water is there in the tubes, like which come tubes or whatever it is called. So like water is there throughout, but let's say like there is no one pipe, like there are 10 pipes, 10 holes from the pipe, like the pipeline. So if there are 10 holes, then like we will not get water properly, there will not be proper water. Because like even if water is there, the energy behind the water will be very less. There will not be much energy. So such dissipated energy, like will not be able to capture water properly. So that is why we put one hole, and that is the pipe. So through the pipe water comes out, like water comes out completely through the pipe, then it will be very easy, it will be very proper, like we'll be able to get water, we'll be able to collect water as well. So it is important that like that focus is important, like both are essential. Anukula sevana, pratikulas are also to be avoided. So a person might fill a pot with water. So a person might be filling like a pot with water, a lot of water, but more and more water is filled, like is anukulam. Tap is opened quite a lot and the water comes out. But more and more, like still after 1 hour, we see that like there is no water in it. There is no water at all. So there is no water. Like we don't find any water in it. So like if we try to figure out what is the issue, and then we realize, then we see, try to find out. And when we try to find out, we see that the problem is there is a hole in the side of the pot. So the hole which is there in the side of the pot. So the hole like ensures that water gets out of the pot. So water gets out of the pot. So when water gets out of the pot, then what happens is the more and more we try to fill it, the lesser and lesser like we will have. So that is what will happen. Therefore, it is essential that we seal all holes which may be there in the pot, so which will kind of obstruct, which will stop collection of water, and then do the anukulam. So anukula sevanam, pratikula varjanam, both are essential. We cannot avoid one or the other. At no point of time can we avoid one or the other. Both are essential, both are required. Both are essential. So in Vedanta, anukula sevanam and pratikula varjanam is kind of standard. So anukula sevanam means contemplation of Brahman. Advitiya satyam Brahman, Brahmaiva sarvam, like everything is Brahman, Brahman alone exists. So keeping that in mind, like trying to contemplate on it, like Brahma satyam, Brahma satyatvam, keeping in mind that, that is anukula sevanam. And pratikula varjanam is not getting distracted into duality or dual notions. So if we have to contemplate on something, if we have to think about something, then other thoughts have to be avoided. It's obvious, it's very simple. Like if we have to see something, so if we have to see like A, if we have to see A, then like we have to not see B. So B should not be seen. If B is seen, like A will not be seen. So like it is essential like first to get rid of B. So in this case, in Vedanta, what is to be avoided, what is not to be seen is the sense organs running behind sense objects and considering them as real. So initially like even going behind sensual pleasures and considering sensual pleasures as unreal, that is kind of impossible initially. We can't initially directly, all of a sudden, say that, okay, I will do actions externally. I will enjoy sensual pleasures as Shankara says, yogaratova, bhogaratova, I will do that. So initially, like, we can't do all those. Initially, like, we may say, like, we will do that, like, we cannot do it. It's impossible initially. So initially, like, we have to avoid sensual pleasures or sense perception itself, and once we gain focus on Brahman, then Once we gain focus on Brahman, then we can very easily, then it is fine to gain, enjoy sensual pleasures. So, enjoying sensual pleasures without realizing Brahman is dangerous. Once we are able to drive very properly, then we can try all the circus things. Like we can drive with one hand, we can drive with one finger, and all those we can try. But until we attain that state, until we reach that state, like until we control or conquer driving, we should not do that. It will trouble. So Krishna, as Krishna initially says, yata chittatma. So yata chittatma, that means like one whose body, one whose indriyas, one whose mind is controlled. So even before the mind can contemplate on Brahman, the mind can focus on Brahman, the first thing that a sadhaka has to do is try to control the body, try to control the sense organs, try to control the mind. Of course, like exceptional people might be able to control all of these by saying that everything is Brahman and Ishvara Arpitam Naichaya Kritam. So exceptional sadhakas, those are not for sadhakas, like initial sadhakas and all. So very, very rarely will there be such people who will immediately be able to implement Vedanta even in action. Initially, we will have to control the body and all. So if we have to learn and implement Vedanta, we cannot even sit for 1 hour or 2 hours in a particular place without moving and all. Body control, if that body control is not there, then it's of no use. Like, we'll not be able to even listen properly to Vedanta. If we have to listen properly for Vedantic sessions, even like normal Vedantic sessions will be like 1 hour. So for that 1 hour, if we don't have control over the body, we will not be able to sit for 1 hour. After half an hour, we'll be saying, okay, when will this get over? Why? My legs are paining, my hands are paining, and then all of a sudden, leg movement, first Padmasana, and then Ardha Padmasana, and then Sukhasana, and then we don't know what asana. It will be some or the other asana. Asana cannot even be defined. Such an asana will be the case. That means that should not be the case. We should have control over the body. So that's why Patanjali, even before controlling the mind, if we have to do dhyanam, we have to first gain control over the body. The bodily control is essential. Physically, we should be able to control the body, focus the body. So controlling the body is not to go into Miss Universe or Mr. Universe pageants. No, that is not the reason for controlling the body. Controlling the body is not to show our biceps and triceps or the six-pack and then hit a person. That is not control. Controlling the body is so that the body doesn't pose an obstacle. The body doesn't pose an obstacle for Vedanta. So that is why control of body is meant. So control of body is not to show off the body, the beautiful body that we would have got. Control of the body is so that we will be able to focus peacefully on Brahman. So that is the control of body. And similarly, control of indriyas. When we are listening, when we are going for a discourse and listening about Brahman, if the eyes go here and there, there is some glass of milk kept in front of the Swamiji who is speaking, and the Swamiji is drinking it. So if our focus is on the person sitting next to us, we smile at the person, then what will go into our eyes? Ears. Eyes have to be focused. If eyes are not focused, then how will the ears remain focused? So it is it's a constant struggle between the eyes and the ears. The eyes are looking at the nearby person, ears are listening. So what will go in? It will be in between. So when the Swamiji might say everything is Brahman, that goes through the ears and it mixes with the eyes. The eyes see something else. Then what will be happen? My neighbor, the person sitting next to me, is everything. That is how knowledge will get transformed, the perception will become. Therefore, control of sense organs is also essential, is also required. So, control of sense organs and then control of mind. The mind, like the mind is something which will run behind us, we know. The mind is a drunken monkey, as Swami Vivekananda says. A drunken monkey like cannot be stopped. It will hop from one branch to another. It will be constantly hopping. It will be almost impossible to stop the hopping of such a drunken monkey. So the mind is very tough. So we have to slowly try to tame the mind, try to control the mind. So that is where sadhanas come into picture. Though like all those sadhanas are not very essential, exceptional people and advanced sadhakas might be able to implement Vedanta directly, but all those sadhanas will ensure that when we learn Vedanta, when we are about to implement Vedanta, it will become effective immediately. So it won't take much time to implement Vedanta. Vedantic implementation will immediately happen. So a person who is very focused, a person who is able to remain focused, concentrated on Brahman, such a person will be able to gain control on Brahman, like when the Guru says you are Brahman Tattvamasi, immediately that will become an experience. So that is the advantage of doing sadhanas in advance. Sadhanas to tame the mind, sadhanas to control the mind. So obviously, like if we are not able to do that, still fine. But all those may be essential. And so through all those, like what has to be attained? Ekaki. So ekaki. So rahasisthitaha ekaki. So like a person like who remains in a secluded area, who remains ekaki, independent. So independence, though we say like we celebrate Independence Day everywhere, in all the countries like we celebrate Independence Day. So, but like Independence Day is celebrated, but we don't have any independence, like independence of mind. So independence means we don't have any ashrayam. So ashrayam means like we generally depend on objects in the world. So there is a new song in the site, Sarva Ashrayam, based on what is the ashrayam. In the last month's magazine, there was a part about Guru being everything. Sapita Samata. So ashrayam. So like the more and more we depend on people, like dependencies always cause trouble. So dependencies in this world and dependencies on things which are temporary, that will always lead to trouble. Dependencies on temporary objects or people is like a person, a swimming person or a drowning person depending on another drowning person. So both will like as ande naiva niyama anayata andaha. Even as Upanishad says, like even as a blind person leading another blind person, or like a drowning person leading another, trying to save another drowning person. So dependencies of independent or things which are not independent, things which are temporary, like we don't know when it will break. So standing on a branch, so the branch itself is very unstable. So standing on such a branch is dangerous because the branch will fall down and will lead us to dukkham, it will lead us to sorrow. So therefore, like ashrayam, all such ashrayam, we can have all those ashrayam, but we have to try to reduce them. We have to have, like we should try to have dependency on Brahman. Dependency on the independent, permanent, always supporting entity, that should be there. And that dependency has to become the greatest or the highest dependency. So accept that dependency. So when Vedanta says we have to be independent, that doesn't mean we should like remain as if like we don't care about anything else in the world. Only a jnani, only Brahman can remain independent at all times. So if we have to remain independent, then like first we have to depend on the independent entity. And using the independent entity, we can become independent. The independent entity will show us the way to independence. So we cannot all of a sudden say, I won't depend on anything. But when Vedanta says, don't depend on anything else, remain independent, which means depend on the independent entity. So that is why when a sadhaka meets a spiritual master, So when a sadhaka meets a spiritual master, the sadhaka completely surrenders on to the guru. So the guru tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadeshyanti te jnanam jnanina stattvadarshinah. So tadviddhi, in order to know, gain that jnanam, that knowledge, sarvam karma kilam partha jnane parisamapyate. In order to gain that knowledge like which will end karma, which will end bandham, which will end dukkham. So in order to gain that knowledge, tadviddhi pranipatena, surrender at the feet of the guru, depend on the guru. So depend on the guru. So a sadhaka has to depend on the guru. Guru stands like Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwara, Guru Sakshat Param Brahma. So Guru is one with Brahman. Guru is Brahman. So depending on the Guru, that is the first thing. So rahasisthitah ekaki. Ekaki rahasisthitah. So ekaki, like remaining independent. So Shankara gives ekaki as sannyasam, karma sannyasa lakshanam. But ekaki, sannyasam, like sannyasam itself means renouncing everything. So renouncing everything means like depending on, of course we cannot renounce everything. We have to depend on something or the other. So renouncing everything means depending on Brahman. So depending on Ishvara, depending on Advaitam. So that is what is meant. So it's the same as here. Like it's not external sannyasam, but the true sannyasam of depending on Brahman, depending on Advaitam. That is what is meant. So depend on Brahman. So depending on Brahman, like after controlling, gaining control of all the the body, the mind, sense organs and all those, then remain independent. So of course, like all these go hand in hand. So that is why, like when one is implemented, like others will automatically follow suit. So others will always be there along with it. So it's like if we conquer the king, then along with the king, other things also will follow. So if we gain the trust of one nation, then automatically the allies of the nation will also give us their trust. So they will also become trustable. So it all comes together. So similarly, when we drive just the front of the car, like we just use the steering, and when it's a two-wheel drive, like we only drive the front wheel. So along with the front wheel, the second wheel also follows suit. The second wheel automatically follows. Yes, sir. So when one follows, the other will also, others will also follow. So when we are able to remain independent, then automatically means we don't depend on objects of the world. It also means, like, if we don't want to depend on objects of the world, we'll not, like, our eyes will not look around, our mind will not get distracted, because we don't need any such things. Like, we don't need any kind of dependencies. When dependencies end, when we don't depend on anything, like when we don't have to depend on anything, then automatically that means that we are independent, we are able to remain independent. It also means that we will not need any kind of dependencies. We will not need automatically, like ekaki rahasisthitah will follow. So yatachittatma, if we do, ekaki rahasisthitah also will follow. If we follow the other way around also will work. All go hand in hand. But along with this, so we need like two things that Shankara says. So if we have to implement these two completely, then we have to remain independent. If we have to control the instruments, the indriya, the mind and all those, we have to control. Then we need two things. That is what Shankara says as nirashihi aparigraha. So nirashihi. So agraha or desires should not be there. And Aparigraha means like we don't covet or we don't really want anything. So parigraham means like accepting. Aparigraham means we don't accept. So these two are the other, like other parts, like independence and all those are essential, but these both also have to be there. So independent or depending on Brahman, controlling of all those are like a mechanical kind of thing. Here we can say it is more towards the mind, a mental state, gaining a mental state. So removing desires, nirashihi, without any desires, so desirelessness. So or like desirelessness again doesn't mean that we should, Krishna says we should not desire anything, so I will not desire anything, not even moksha. So that's not the case. Like, we have to desire moksha. Moksha is inevitable. We have to desire moksha. Desire for moksha should not be avoided. Like, that is one desire which we can have and we should have. So desire for moksha should be there, but all other desires should get reduced. So all of a sudden desires, like we will not be able to reduce or completely nullify or negate desires all of a sudden. All of a sudden negating desire is like kind of impossible. It will cause us more trouble. So all of a sudden we will not be able to do that. So slowly we have to try. So slowly, like it should be like gradual, it should not be all of a sudden. So all of a sudden, like if we try to, we want to try bodybuilding. So like if we want to try bodybuilding, like what will happen all of a sudden, like we immediately try, or like painting, body painting, or any other painting like we want to do. All of a sudden, like we paint, what will happen? It will be misery. Like it will be like miserable. Why? Because like we don't even know what is painting. We don't know how to paint. Like we don't know anything. Like we all of a sudden we say like we should paint. What do you paint? Like we should paint Amma. Will it be possible? Like first we should try simple things. If we don't try simple things, like we will not be able to do it. So everything has to be gradual. So if we are building like body building, all of a sudden we say like I should gain like biceps like 20 inches, 30 inches. We immediately start pulling weights. So all of a sudden if we do a lot of weights, we will crash. Weightlifting, like when we try weightlifting, we should not try 100 kilos like initially. We have to slowly like increase. We have to slowly or gradually increase. That is how we have to do. So the same like such gradually reducing desires is also important here as well. So here as well, like we have to gradually increase, not all of a sudden. If we do it all of a sudden, it will lead to our own trouble. It will cause us more trouble. Therefore, we should not do that. We should gradually increase. Like we should gradually increase, increase removal of desires. So gradually increase the intensity of desire removal. So gradually, when we do it, will automatically. Like we will, it won't harm us, whereas it will, like we will be able to achieve that very easily. So, but desires have to be removed. If we have other desires again, like going back, those desires will become like those desires are, or desires act as pratikulas. Our desire for moksha will not be strong if other desires are there. Parallelly having multiple desires and giving intensity to one while like ignoring or while giving less intensity to the other is good in theory but not in implementation, it may not work out as good, it may not work that well. So therefore it means that we have to gradually reduce desires so that only the desire of moksha is there. All other desires are very negligible. And aparigraha. So not accepting anything from anyone. So desire, if we desire something, then we will accept something. So what will we accept from a person? So we will accept like something from our friend, like something from somebody else. We will accept only when we desire something. So if we don't desire it, How will we accept? Where there is no desire, like we cannot accept, we cannot accept as well. So that means like we have to stop accepting. When we stop accepting, desire or getting rid of desires will become perfect. And why would we have to desire or why would we have to accept if we depend on Brahman? So when we depend on Brahman, Brahman is that like by knowing which everything becomes known. So if we know Brahman, like if we are able to know or keep in mind Brahman, contemplate on Brahman, depend on Brahman, then no, nothing else is required. So once we depend on Brahman, nothing else is required. So if when there is like when we depend on Brahman and we don't need anything else, then like in if the, like that just means that like we don't need to depend on anything else. If we don't need to depend on anything else, then we don't have any desire, because like everything like we have that, like that which is permanent, that which is eternal, that which is unlimited, then we won't even accept or desire anything else. So again, all these like the three like that we have discussed, all these three go hand in hand. So ekaki rahasisthitah yata chittaatma and nirashir aparigraha. So like very beautiful like interpretations. Yata chittaatma, controlling the body, the mind and the indriyas, and then like purifying the mind, making the mind more pure by not desiring anything, not accepting anything, and then like trying to remain independent. Independent means trying to depend only on Brahman. So this, if we try to implement these three, then yunjita satatam atmanam. So atmanam yunjita satatam. So like satatam atmanam yunjita, constantly, satatam, constantly, at all times, yunjita dhyanam, satatam atmanam, atmanam yunjita, concentrating, contemplating, focusing on the Atman, focusing on Brahman, a yogi should do. A yogi will do all this to become a proper or attain moksha. So that means like what this means is, how can a yogi is a person who has attained Brahman or like who is focused on Brahman, then like why would such a yogi like contemplate? So here when like as we have discussed previously, like when a person is learning for like MBBS, then itself we say like the person is a doctor. So like when a person like is studying itself, we say like he's an engineer. In the same way, like a yogi doesn't necessarily mean a person who has attained the state. Generally, we mean that, but here it can also mean like that in order to, or a yogi is a person who has started in the spiritual path, who is going to, whose mind is focused on sarva sankalpa sannyasam, but who hasn't yet achieved it, who is yet to achieve it. Now this shloka is like a very beautiful interpretation of how or what all a spiritual sadhaka needs. So implementation of all that properly, or proper implementation, thorough implementation of these will ensure that we are able to we will be able to attain the goal very easily. So that is why all these like detailed interpretations or detailed explanations are given by the Lord, like, and as well as many other places. All these like detailed interpretations will make the spiritual path or the way we have to achieve the goal very easy, and like it ensures that we don't get distracted as well. So distractions may be there, we may get distracted very easily, that also gets avoided through all this. Along with all this, like whether we are to implementing all this or we are not able to implement all of this or any of this, it doesn't really matter. But what really matters is keeping the goal of Brahman in our mind. So the goal of Brahman has to be in our mind. So that is what is like very important. So having the goal in mind, automatically we will be able to attain the goal in one or the other way. So if we have that in mind, so we should have that in mind, the more and more like we contemplate on it, the more and more we are able to keep the goal of Brahman in our mind, the more easily we will be implementing all of this, all of these, and the more and more we implement it, the more and more we will progress towards it. So anyway, it doesn't matter whether we are following exactly what Krishna says here. It doesn't really matter exactly whether we follow this or not. For most of the seekers, if we follow verbatim or as Krishna says here, exactly that way, if we follow, it will help us. It will only help in our progress. As much as possible, we should try to implement it. But in case we are able to directly contemplate on Ishvara, then still that is fine, because ananyas chintayantu mam ejana paryupasate tesham nityabhyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. If a person is constantly contemplating on Ishvara, ananya bhajanam a person does on Ishvara, then Ishvara will take care of the person. Yetu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya matparaha ananyenaiva yogena mam dhyayanta upasate tesham aham samadharta mrityu samsara sagara bhavami nachirat partha mai aveshita chetasam. Mai aveshita chetasam, one whose mind is totally fixed on me through yetu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya, offering all actions onto me, matparaha, remaining always focused on me, ananyeneva yogena mam dhyayanta upasate, who do dhyanam of me, and through dhyanam who are able to do upasana of me, ananya bhajanam, ananya dhyanam, who are able to do that, tesham aham samudharta, for such people I'll become their savior, I will take them away because their mind is focused on me completely. So if we are able to get that directly, then that is also fine. It doesn't essentially mean we have to do, or this is the only way. So it's not we can never say there is only one direct way or one direct way to implement Vedanta. So remembrance of Brahman is the one way. But in order to remember Brahman, we can follow many other ways. Things may become easier. Things may become very easier with through one way or the other way. So we may be able to remember Ishvara with bhakti. We may be able to remember Ishvara with sakhi bhavam. We may be able to remember with some other bhavam, dvesha bhavam. So there are many ways which we can remember Ishvara. It's not there is only one and the only way, this is the only way. So we cannot do that. We have other ways as well. Any way that helps us in contemplation of Brahman, ananya bhajanam, that is right. But, so again, why say again and again that any way is fine? Because if we don't mention that any way is fine, then people will just take it literally, and when it is taken literally, then all doubts will come. Oh, this is the only way. Okay, this is the only way we can attain. That's how we'll think. We should never think like that. And we should never think this is the only way and all. So the only way, when we say there is the only way, so it just means that the only way is jnanam. Or Brahman is the only way, Brahma Bhavam is the only way. All other maybe may indirectly help us, not directly. So that is what is meant there. But that doesn't necessarily mean that in order to maintain Advaita Bhavam, we have to just control the mind, gain independency, all those. We may be able to directly, all those immediately will happen when we are totally devoted to Ishvara. When we focus on Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, that's it, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, automatically there, all this will internally come. All these will automatically happen. So we can't just say that, oh, you have to do it, like you have to do it this way, else like you will not be able to attain moksha. There should not be any raga dvesham. So the only way, or the direct, when Vedanta says there is only one way, there is only a direct way, and that is jnanam, that means advaita bhavam, focus on Brahman, yunjita satatam atmanam. In order to do that, ekaki rahasisthitaha yata chittatma nirashira parigraha, all those will indirectly help. All those will indirectly help to attain, like to gain yunjita satatam atmanam. So yunjita satatam atmanam will very easily happen if we are able to do yata chittatma ekaki rahasisthitaha nirashira parigraha. Ultimately, at the end of the day, what matters is, are we able to remember Brahman alone exists? Are we able to gain a little bit of happiness through remembrance that Brahman alone exists here? If yes, then our life gets fulfilled. If yes, then like we will be able to, if yes means like we are progressing, if yes means we have like made some progress, we will attain the goal of moksha. If the answer is no, then there is no point, even if like we are learning Vedanta, there is no point, even if Ishvara comes in front of us and tells that, okay, this is how it has to be done, you are a good bhakta and all those, still it will be of no use at all. So may Amma bless us so that we should never get any raga dvesham, even to the spiritual path. Brahman alone exists. Whether it is we learn Gita, whether it is Yoga Vasishta, whether it is some other way, whether we learn Dhyanam, whether we learn Bhakti, whether we learn Yoga, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, are we able to keep Brahman in our mind, Advaita Brahman, Advitiya Satyam in our mind? Are we able to rejoice in bliss? So in order to rejoice in bliss through whatever the beautiful steps that Krishna has given here, so may Amma bless us so that we may be able to achieve that in this very birth itself. We'll continue in the next day.